Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. And like I say, prayer do availeth much.
That's right.
And people know, like I said, I know personally the power of prayer. It has brought me over not just one time, not through this event, but many.
Yeah.
And so I thank God for everybody who pray,
right.
who still are praying. And because, like I said, it is well received. And the power of the saints, you don't know your strength sometimes, but you know, use it because it does work. And I'm a living example of that.
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir. We all are.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So happy that you're coming along. Just don't you overdo it now.
Okay. Well, Brother Satai, I didn't hear your countdown.
We already live on.
Okay. So we're going to take it from here. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. We want to welcome each and everybody to the call, our members of the National Black Unity News, our Blog Talk listeners, as well as our Facebook listeners. And this is a special evening because we are here. And some of y'all don't know the significance of that. Because we are still here. Do you know that all across this country, this pandemic is killing tens of thousands of people on a consistent basis all across this world? And so many people are being infected or affected by this virus. I, too, have been a victim of it. But through the grace of God, I was able to overcome it through prayer. Through God, and many others as well. But unfortunately, others have succumbed to it. And so we have to continue to pray for our fellow citizens, our brothers and sisters out there who's entering into that, because it is one hell of an experience. I speak from experience to go through something like that. And I may not have been as infected as some folks where they had to use ventilators and things like that. But I tell you, I was weak. It was difficult just to stand up. It was difficult to talk. It was chills and diarrhea and weakness and dizziness all in one. And you can imagine how that must feel. I mean, you had pretty much strength to do nothing, pretty much. And I've been through open heart surgery. I've been through all types of surgery in the past, but nothing had floored me the way this virus did. And you seem helpless. And so I can't even imagine, because I had a cousin who was on a ventilator, and I watched him, and they constantly videotaping him. And I can somewhat imagine, but not to the point that he experienced, where they had him, so, you know, on these ventilators and things like that. But whatever, you know, the virus is no joke. Some people are still fighting against it, saying, you know, we don't want to wear a mask, we don't want to protect ourselves and things like that. But all I can say is this, that virus is no joke. And I wouldn't wish that on an enemy or nobody else. And every time I hear these numbers, I'm sorry, you know, from my personal point of view, every time I hear those numbers, I'm kind of get that feeling that all of them people are going through what have been through, or worse, or even worse than death. And that's a lot of people right here in Maryland, all across this nation and all across this world. This thing is serious. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I just, again, thank God, because God brought me through, and I believe through prayer and whatever God has in store for me. But As always, ladies and gentlemen, we have our my brother, my partner, my longtime friend, Brother Satawi Jahi, as a co-host of the National Black Unity News Podcast. And I appreciate this brother because he does so much for so many. And he's been on the front lines for years. This I know, him and his wife have opened their homes up to our youth. Brother Satawi himself has been personally involved in the movement for years, you know, and he experienced a lot of the things I experienced. Cause we went to the school at the same time, Rockland Middle School, the year it opened. And so he would understand the struggle, even our personal struggle. That we went through, and you know, discrimination and people protesting against just for going to school. But yep, nevertheless, we both overcame those things because we're still fighting. We're still on the front lines. And we're going to be soldiers, I guarantee you this, until the day we die. Because the battle, there's been many battles, but you know, we have yet to overcome. So the baton has been passed now that we are senior citizens, and we want to pass the baton to some of our younger folks. We're going to keep on fighting until this victory is won. With that being said, Brother Satawi, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
And Brother Satawi always come to us with positive news, and God knows we need some positive news today. And Brother Satawi, you can take it from here, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. Glad you are feeling better, and you know, that's a powerful, powerful thing. And again, it's the power of prayer, because all of us had you in our prayers. And, you know, prayer, it does wonders. I'm just going to say that and leave it at that. Today is me and Cynthia's 33rd wedding anniversary. And so, you know, we did a few things earlier today together. And I'm ready to get into our reading. For all of those people out there on our Blog Talk platform, if you want to call in, the Blog Talk number is, hold on, let me pull it up here for you. The Blog Talk call-in number is 515-02-9701. You call up, and then you do is you click the link, raise your hand, then I can see what number you're calling from, and then I can let you into the program. I want to thank the 49,000-plus listeners who have tuned into a show here on Blog Talk Radio on Home-Based Business 101. We broadcast on this platform, been broadcasting on this platform since November 7th, 2007. And we've done a lot of shows, and this is a regular show that we do. We got some new shows that we will be doing also kicking off this week, and I will be able to go over what those shows are in a minute or two. Today's reading, and our reading is from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough. And the reading for the day goes like this. Don't leave me hanging. Quote, a world without dreams and hopes is no world at all. Aretha Franklin, singer. That's a quote from Aretha, the Queen of Soul. One day, a wishing well in the center of a shopping mall captured the attention of three small children, two boys and a girl. As they leaned over the guardrail, the shining coins in the bottom of the water caught their eye. Wow, look at all of that money, one exclaimed. It must be at least $100 down there. Looks like closer to $1 million, his tiny companion blurted. I bet we could get some. Oh, yeah, how? We can make a chain. We can hang on to each other. I'll hold your feet, and you can grab her feet, and we can lean over and scoop up some of those dimes and nickels. The little girl's face clouded over. She seemed very unhappy about their plan. One of the boys began to climb over the retainer. She tugged on his shirt and cried out, oh, no, you can't do that. Don't you know you'll steal the dreams and wishes of all the people who threw their money into that well? How often have we sat innocently by and seen friends and family steal the dreams of others? Through words of doubt or negative thoughts, we participate in a crime. Do your friends a favor. Believe in their dreams. Today I will call a friend and share their hopes and dreams. It's so important that we believe in each other's dreams and also believe in each other's prayers. And, you know, because if you don't believe in each other's prayers and dreams, then you're a dream stealer or a prayer stealer. And you don't want that, because the bottom line is, as it says in the good book, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in your midst and I'll hear your prayers. And that's what happened, you know, when we did our prayer circles for you, David. You know, we had, it was way more than three people that came together, but in the power of what we all asked for, it helped reduce the healing that we was looking for. It's glad to hear your voice, glad to hear you back up and around and doing what you need to do to be able to be on this podcast. And I was able to do the podcast one time while you was in the hospital. And then another time I had a tax client that I needed to do some work for, so I wasn't able to podcast that Monday before you came back on. But we only missed one Monday while you was down. One of the other Mondays I did cover. And so, hey, brother, glad to have you back in the circle. Glad that you're feeling much better. And it makes me wonder, you know, with this whole thing with the football players. You know, they test positive for the coronavirus and they have to sit out a week. But I don't know if testing positive means it's like when AIDS first came out. You know, it came out, people tested HIV positive, but they didn't have full-blown AIDS. I don't know. Maybe people can test positive but don't have a full-blown effect of the virus, and, you know, and it knocks them down, because, you know, the Ravens football team, they had several players that weren't able to play in the Pittsburgh game, and Lamar Jackson being one of them, but he's supposed to be cleared to be able to play in the Dallas game Tuesday night. And I know it's only been like a week, you know. So, you know, I'm just curious as to what's going on with that and you know, how they doing all of this testing and how's that, you know, impacting the players and, you know, whether or not they might test positive, but they don't have the full-blown coronavirus. And so, you know, I'm just curious about what's going on in the NFL.
Well, let me say this. You know, them guys, man, they in their early 20s, and these guys are exceptional people who are well, you know what you say, are fit, young, you know, powerful. And then a lot of times they say children as well don't be affected the same way people my age who may get it or something like that. That's why they say you have to be careful that, you know, some people run around here and would never know they had it, you know, but they can still carry it to people like me, and that would knock us off our feet. And so, you know, so I think, like I say, because this disease is unknown, it's not clear to anyone, I don't think, how it affects individuals, you know. But I do know in your 20s and you children, but I do know one thing, it has killed every age group out here. And, you know, so you have to be extremely careful. And but brother, congratulations on your anniversary as well. And send my love and regards to your lovely wife, Cynthia, for me.
I sure will.
And because y'all some great people, man. I've known both of y'all for a long time, and I admire y'all greatly. And congratulations, sir. But, you know, on the subject matter that you spoke about was powerful from my perspective, because I'm around a lot of dreamers, visionaries, who are doing things, going places, helping people. And I know it's difficult for them, because those of us who's trying to make change not only for ourselves, but our family members, our communities, and plus, you know, throughout, you know, the world. And of course, even in my life, there was a lot of naysayers, people who, not only if they wouldn't naysay, they didn't support you and things like this. So it can be difficult sometimes in doing well or doing good. But in the National Black Unity News, there's a host of people who are visionaries, who some of them I know personal, have known for years, like Brother Satavi and his wife, who have these visions. And sometimes it looks like, you know, they may not come to full fruition, but, you know, from their perspective, from you know like some people say, well, I have a 5-year goal, I want to be here, there, at this particular time, and if you don't reach that objective, then you may have failed. But in that course of 4 or 5 years, you may have touched a multitude of people who have benefited from your wisdom and knowledge or your services and changed their lives. And the way you see it, you may think it's a failure, but somebody like me from the outside looking in will say that you are extremely successful. Because, for instance, I don't know exactly what you, I know y'all do a lot of things and it helped a lot of people. But when I witnessed y'all commitment to the children, I sent my own children to you. And I told people this story. Now, my son David, it was extremely difficult to take him to a babysitter. I had to actually sneak out the house, find a way to escape just to get, you know, get from him, because he would cling to me, and by me being a sensitive type guy, it was hard for me to leave him in a situation like that. So it was we had a ritual every morning, man. It was difficult for me as well as him. And so, but when I took him to Brother Satire, the first day was the same way. I had to kind of sneak out the building. But the next day, the strangest thing happened, and this never happened because I took David to 3 or 4 babysitters when he was young. And these were family members, people that he kind of was familiar with. But that second, just the second day, Mr. Tybee, I took him to the center. He just ran across the room, didn't even look back. I was, you know, I was happy about it, but damn, I was upset too. I said, "Darren, you know, he got that much power, my boy." No. But in any case, and my daughter Latoya and them, and they would come home singing songs, red, black, yellow, green. I know what these colors mean, and I felt so relieved. You know, so every morning I would go through there, take him there. He just ran on, and you know, so I got used to it. I accepted it. I gave in, but
he wanted to come on Saturdays, and we weren't open on Saturdays.
Yeah. But in any case, let me say this. I see some people on here. You know, she was supposed to be our guest, and while she here, one of our old-time editors just joined us, one of our first editors in real estate. Sonata Cameron's on board with us this evening. And she's been doing a lot of things over the years. And Sonata, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but I know we and you supposed to got back together. I sent you an email to you, but since then I've been infected with, I don't know if you noticed, virus, COVID-19. What is it? COVID-9? I don't even know the name of it anymore. Cause it's
COVID-19.
And she wanted to come on as a guest to talk about some of the things that she's doing now. And so since you're here, this is open mic night. Can you unmute yourself?
Good evening, good evening. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing
right.
Great.
Great.
Yeah, so, you know, you can share a few things of what you're doing.
Okay, hold on. Let me get my... I was here working and I saw your message come through and I said, okay, let me try to join the call while I'm working on the computer here. And thank you for doing these impromptu calls. No, I had no idea you were infected with the COVID. And so I'm glad to see that you're doing well.
Yes.
That's good. So there's a lot of, you know, with COVID, it's like another strand of the flu. And so if you look at the numbers statistically, people, even though the media is making an extreme amount of hype about it, and I know we all have to be careful, but there's a lot of people who are catching it and a lot of people who are healing from it because it's not as detrimental. And there's other people who are also dying, but that's also the same thing that happens when people have the flu as well. You know, people are dying from the flu. So I want everyone to be careful and work on your immune system and making sure that you're keeping your body intact as necessary for healing.
Okay. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay. That's good. Okay. So so what are you currently doing now?
Well, I still do real estate. I always believe in building wealth and leaving a legacy through real estate, but I also am working more so in the spiritual space. I don't know if you remember, but I'm a beekeeper. So we have an online company called growhoney.com. Everything that grows on earth plus honey is meant here to heal us. And so there's a lot of benefits to going back to Mother Nature and utilizing what we have before us. So we have to remember food is our medicine, and we've gotten away from how our ancestors used to eat, let's just say our grandparents or our great-grandparents, not even going way back in the lineage, just that far back. And, you know, they were eating healthier. And then now with the GMO foods and fast eating, a lot of us gotten away from eating healthy, and that's really taken away from our health. And if you think about the centennials who are around, like I have an interview next week with a young lady who lives in Capitol Heights, who on December 24th turns 100 years old. And so, you know, I want to definitely highlight her because she's done a lot of things right to be living past 100 years old. And so I wanted to really talk about that. And so a lot of what we have to offer at growhoney.com is about healing your body from the inside out. And a lot of us are talking about, you know, mind, body, and spirit, and we all work together as one. And what's happening primarily in the African American community is we're not doing the things that we're supposed to do, what our ancestors used to do in terms of eat, you know, healthy eating, being outside and doing, like, you know, being out in the sun at least 15 minutes a day, being with the earth, being grounded, either walking on the ground with your bare feet or putting your hands in the ground with your hands. And so we've gotten away from farming. We've gotten away from being with the land. And the land, Mother Earth, is here to heal us. And so we've gotten into these little desks, these little cubicles, and these little boxes, and we've gotten away from being what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to be as human beings. And because our body is still a machine, and the machine needs certain things to operate properly. And it's not about food, it's about nutrition. Understand? So we've gotten away from understanding how to eat, and we allow these fast food companies to dictate us and make it very convenient. And then we're living in this matrix where we're living in this rat race where you get up in the morning to go to work just so you can feed your family, but then you don't have enough time to spend with your family. You don't have enough time to take care of your family. You don't have enough time to nourish and give our family the culture and the system that they need, because we're so caught up in just trying to work to live, and we've forgotten about living. And so one of the things that we started doing is we opening up a temple in Washington, D.C. called Temple of Mother Earth. And Temple of Mother Earth is a non-denominational spiritual temple where we're teaching and reminding each other how we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to treat each other with the laws of Ma'at, how we're supposed to eat, how we're supposed to be healthy in the sun, how we're supposed to be with the land. And now it's even so more important with the change in COVID. What that did is it allowed a lot of people to really sit down and assess where they are in their lives. People are in relationships that now they're beginning to reassess, like, is this the person I really need to be? Because how did I pick this person in the first place? And so we're going back to understanding what is important in relationships. And it's not the superficial things in a relationship of what they look like and what car they're driving, how their body looks. No, it's really about the integrity and the person's skill set from their heart and spirit. And so we've gotten away from a lot of those things. And that's why a lot of these relationships are not lasting, because they weren't built properly in the first place. So it's a matter of just understanding that those relationships. A lot of parents are realizing, oh, their children are off the chain, their children are spoiled, or whatever the case may be, because now they've had to spend all this time together that we didn't have the time to spend before, because we were so busy living in that rat race that we weren't assessing where we are. And as people, you know, we're very miraculous. There's a lot of things that we can do to really propel ourselves in another direction. And there's a lot of skill sets that we have, and we have to remember to empower ourselves. We're very creative people. We're very smart people. We're very entrepreneurial people. And it's a matter of remembering who you are and applying your skills and using your skills for your highest power and your highest good. Because you can make the same amount of money that you're making, that you're getting paid for someone to work with as an entrepreneur, if not more. You can have your own time. You can have your own schedule. You can put yourself in a position where you're not living in a rat race, where you're living your life on purpose, and where you are taking care of the people in your life that you care for. And so at Temple of Mother Earth, what we're doing is working on mind, body, and spirit. So your mind and body work together as one. So when you go to the doctor and you're like, oh, doctor, you know, I have a pain right here. This pain right here may or may not even be a cardiac event. It could be a spiritual event. It could be a trauma. It could be an ancestral trauma. It could be dis-ease from some kind of pain that you're suffering, whether it's your, you know, issues that you're having at work or issues that you may be having in a relationship. And so it's your body's giving you a signal. So a lot of times we go to the doctor because we're getting signals from our body that things are not right. And then the medical doctors are saying, oh, it's this. And then if you try to go to a mental doctor because, you know, you're having some mental challenges, then it's this. But in reality, what's happening is, you know, depending on what's happening with you specifically, it could be just, you know, you're becoming awakened to your spirituality and you're becoming in tune with the spiritual gifts that we have. And society is putting things into a way that is dampening those epiphanies that one is having. And so during COVID, this is one of the things that I started transitioning myself over. Because as an international real estate broker, you know, I thought my mark on earth was teaching people how to build wealth through real estate and leaving a legacy, leaving an inheritance for their children's children. And you've heard me say that speech many, many times over. But the reality is we one day will be someone's ancestor. So if we don't have ourselves together, what are we going to be able to offer our children's children? So it goes into more than that. It goes into the spiritual being of who we are, and not get caught up with what man has said, but really use your mind and tap into what's available to you and to have the teachings. A lot of us have gotten away from the teachings. Some of us never even had the teachings. And so as I'm going through this spiritual journey and having these awakenings and these epiphanies, I'm researching and learning more information. Like I have, you know, I'm starting to read, I don't know if you can see this, Queen of Fua's Sacred Women, The Guide to Healing the Feminine Body, Mind, and Spirit. And it talks about so many things in here that, you know, as women, we should be doing. And there's an equal book that she has, Heal Thyself for Men, about what we should be doing for healing ourselves. And so life, there's so much more important to life. And I think a lot of us have gotten so sidetracked by living into the matrix of what it tells us we have to have. We have to have a certain kind of hair and a certain kind of car and a certain kind of clothes. But it's more to it than that. And then we have to realize really what we're doing. If we are, for those of us who believe and those of us who know, we are spiritual beings having a physical existence. And with that in mind, what are we doing on this earth now to prepare ourselves and our family and our lineage for the hereafter? Like, what are we doing in that space? What are we doing to maximize our health? So I don't know, you probably can't see this, David, but I've lost like 35 pounds just by eating nutritionally. I have not even deprived myself. I haven't gone one day being hungry. I've alkalinized my body and eating the right things. And, you know, Dr. Sebi has a lot of information out there that you can read and learn about. And it's a matter of really applying yourself and getting out of doing what everyone is doing and really take yourself to the highest level of being, taking yourself to be the highest version of yourself. And what does that mean to you? And then Temple of Mother Earth is about helping you find what that means for you, helping you find your soul purpose, tapping into your spiritual gifts, and how you can then monetize using those spiritual gifts and services. So what we are finding is there's a lot of mental health issues in the African-American community, and a lot of it may be just spiritual gifts that people don't understand. And because you don't have a way to tap into learning and understanding what those things are, a lot of people are losing by the wayside. So at Temple of Mother Earth, we're based in Washington, D.C., and our goal is to get the temple up and running so we can be prepared to have live broadcasts virtually and to be able to educate individuals on eating properly and mindset and goals and being back with your family and not living in a matrix.
Okay, fantastic. I tell you what, again, you know, you and I was making plans for you to come on to the show, you know, to be a guest, and we're going to do that. And so we're going to get back to you, and I appreciate what you do, what you've done, and what you're going to do. And so, again, it's nice seeing you again.
Thank you.
And Eartha, can you unmute yourself, please?
Hey.
How you doing today?
Oh, you know, I'm doing it. I'm making it. I'm alive. I'm kicking and all that jazz.
And I want to say to you, I had opportunity on your first. I know, you know, Eartha has been doing radio for a long time, and she took a little short break from it, but, you know, she's back. And
yep.
I listened to your first show. I was there. And then this past Saturday, I tried to listen in, but my internet service, you know, whole area, you know, with no internet, so you know, that was a problem. But in any case, I just want to say congratulations on your show. Let people know what the show is about and how they can get involved with it.
Well, it's good that, like you said, how things connect. Because just like the young lady, and I'm sorry I didn't catch her name that she was just talking.
Sister Sonata Camera.
Okay, the Sonata Camera.
Sonata, yes.
Sonata.
I think
we have to control our information. We have to create our own platforms because a lot of the stuff we do is not new. It's not even new news of how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, but it's a way of putting things back in place. That's a self-determination mindset because, like they say, you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. But when the horse pass out and fall into the water, he eventually start drinking it. So it's the fact that that water was still there. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to do is make sure that we have things in place that we have, as they say, ownership of. We must control media, virtual, radio, blogs, papers, whatever entity that is out there. So when we are trying to disseminate information among ourselves, we can hold ourselves accountable for supporting those entities to make sure that we properly are doing more self-determination things, right? Mm-hmm. So I always wondered why so many black businesses were closing if we all was talking about buying black, being black, doing black. It got to a point where we were only good at rhetoric and nobody was holding anybody accountable or no one was saying, why aren't we supporting that black business? If its price is too high, if its products is not good enough, whatever the rationality is, we should have stayed there and hammered it out till we got that particular business to a point of solution, because we have to figure out what is the mechanism, guys, that's stopping us from moving faster, because there's nothing that we can say on any call or doing anything that's new. But I think it's the mindset of putting a lot of things back in place. We done lost a lot of good people who have provided good institutions, good information, good books to us. So the information is there. And I'm just glad to be a part of it. And he's right. We brought back the Tight Knit Radio Show also to give homage to a person like Kathy Hughes, who have built that industry. So not only just me, but hopefully we can have as many custom shows on that station as possible so we can benefit from a legacy of a radio station that was formulated for us.
Okay, fantastic. So let people know when your show airs.
So the show comes on every Saturday from 1 to 2. It's called the Tight Knit Movement. We also are co-hosted by California. So the thing, again, about us learning how to do what we do, it's a good thing that we can pull people from all over the country. So we have different hosts in different states. But it comes on live on www.wolb.com. So you can, wherever you're at, you can just go on WLOB.Baltimore. I'm sorry. It's www.wolbbaltimore.com. So we can listen live all over the world. But if you're locally, you can just tune into 1010, and it's on an AM station. Everybody's welcome to give us a call. We would love to make sure that we wanted the vehicles that could dissimulate your information. And you can also have an opportunity to host our radio show for just a small contribution, because most of these custom shows, unfortunately, we have to pay for. So we give people an opportunity to come on the radio and be part of the hosting team as they make their donations. So, again, my name is Eartha Harris. You can reach me at 443-655-7198, 443-655-7198.
All right. Thank you, Eartha. As always, Eartha is a true soldier, been out there for a multitude of years on the front line doing a multitude of things. So I always appreciate you before the work that you do, because you are truly a soldier. And I'm going to bring this other young lady up, Lila Arthur. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Well, you know, Lila, I want to bring you up because of this reason. Lila is the editor in the National Black Unity News. She deals with financial services. And a lot of people right now are going through some serious challenges right now. They don't know how their tomorrow's going to be. They don't know how they're going to, you know, may not have an income, some losing everything. And but Lila has a program. Not only can help people through her services, but she also has the opportunity to help people if they want to, you know, join forces with her so they can make a way for themselves. Can you speak a little bit about that, Lila?
Yes, and David, it's definitely good to see you up and running.
Amen. It's a blessing. Yep.
Yes, that our prayers have been answered, so we're excited about that.
Thank you.
So what I do is, as I don't know if y'all can see my.
Yeah, I'm gonna get to you. Let me see how I can do this.
I can see my shirt. My shirt says "Recruit, Train, and Build." So, I'm part of an organization, and that's exactly what we do. We recruit, train, and build. Now, most people don't like that word recruit. They'd be like, that's that recruiting thing. I don't want to do that. I don't want to recruit. Well, if you work a job, you were recruited. There was a person who was in charge of hiring, and she or he was the recruiter. That's what they did. If you were on a football team or a basketball team, if you played sports, you were recruited to that team. So recruit is not a bad word. It's just what the stigma people take from it. So in my business, we have built a business within a business, which means that you have no overhead. The only overhead that you have is your POL. It's your website. $25 a month is what the cost of your website. The company maintains it. You pay $25, right, to keep it running, to keep it on. But it gives you all your training. It gives you everything that you need. So you're building a business within a business, and you're building a team of people. I've been doing this now 15 years, since 2006. 2005 is when I came into the business. I got licensed January 2006, and been doing this ever since. So what my business is finances. I do life insurance. We do investment. We put together plans, what we call a financial needs analysis, for clients to see where they are. Most people don't understand where they are. And what David was saying as far as people don't have an income, most people don't understand where they are. They don't understand where they will be. Like, you know, we look at the homeless people out in the streets, but a lot of people are just one paycheck away from that. You know, mm-hmm. One miss a paycheck or miss a couple paychecks, and they right out there about to be, you know, maybe not in the street, but in somebody else's house, having to sleep on somebody else's couch. But that's where the extra income comes in at. That's where you got to, as the ladies were saying earlier, is putting a business in place for yourself. Buy black. Buy, you know, build your legacy. Have that Black Wall Street that we used to have. But it takes a step. You got to make that first step. You got to believe not only, you know, in yourself, but you got to believe in somebody else that's going to take you where you need to go. And that's what I do. That's what I've been doing for 15 years. I've had people on my team that's licensed, people who are in their 60s, people who are 19. My daughter's in the business, my son. I got a house right now. In the house right I live in now, I have a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, and my daughter and my son. And they're all getting their license and becoming, understanding how to make extra income. And starting at a young age, knowing, say, okay, we gotta build wealth, because at the end of the day, no matter what you do, you're working for money, so you should know how money works. And that's where people fall short. That's what happens when people living about to live paycheck to paycheck, because we're not taught how money works. You think about it, in all your schooling, when was you taught how to make your money work for you instead of you having to work for your money? Mm-hmm. That's not something they teach us, right? They teach us to go to school, get a good job, and work a 9 to 5 for somebody else for the rest of your life. But that's not what's going to get you wealthy. What's going to get you wealthy, what's going to leave a legacy for your family, is for you building a business for yourself, building a business that you can leave behind, that you can say, okay, I'm done, I'm retired, I'm going to pass this down to my children, or I'm going to sell it back to the company. Either way, I'm going to be good. And that's what we teach, finances, but it's teaching you how to understand your money and teaching you how to help others to come along and how to understand their money. Because it's not just about you and your family. It's about all these other people's families out here that we walk past every day. Somebody else is praying for help, praying for somebody to talk to them about an opportunity, praying where am I going to eat tomorrow? But if you teach them, yeah, you know, they say if you teach a man a fish, he'll live for a lifetime.
That's right.
You give him a fish. But that's what we got to do. We have to teach each other. And that's what I do. And I'm looking for some people who want to learn how to, you know, help themselves first and then help other people in the long run.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Like I say, Lila not only is a good person, but like I said, she has a powerful program who stood the test of time. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying, you know, it's hopeless. There is no way because so much, many things are happening at a rapid pace. But there is hope. All throughout the National Black Unity News, read that publication, ladies and gentlemen, because there's a host of information in there, a host of people who's willing to help you, from spirituality all the way down to your finances and everything else in between. And speaking of that, I'm going to bring this gentleman on. He's a powerhouse. I just met him recently. But, you know, this thing, I have a spirit, my spirit, they say, this brother is powerful. And we was meant to meet. I mean, seriously, he's just one of the people that we were meant to meet. And because we have work to do. And I love meeting soldiers, man. I do. You know, frontline soldiers. And when I'm talking about this gentleman, this is Bishop Soule. And can you come and share what's going on with you today, sir?
Hey, I am doing great, David. Like everyone said, so glad you're doing well. And I commend the three ladies, my sisters, who were powerhouses, who really nailed it where we need to be. And so I'm, you know, a couple things are going on. We just recently launched a regional Black Chamber of Commerce, 7 counties. We got parishes. To promote and grow Black businesses and go to corporate entities and demand that they set aside contracts for these businesses who can do work. And so we're excited about that. And then we are now moving over into Mississippi on the Gulf Coast, and we'll go up into the Delta probably first of the year. And really excited about going back to Mississippi. Had a great time doing work over there when I first came down to Deep South 7 years ago. I'm DC, DMV is home, pastored in Baltimore, but God sent me down here to Louisiana, South Mississippi, and he's continued to expand my borders. We're launching a Saturday college that will teach young people beginning at the third grade, mathematics, electronics, and computers, so we can get them in the STEM careers when they move from high school. So as my sisters said, there's a lot of work to do. We have to be taught that we can do the work. We are scientists. We are engineers. We are architects. We are mathematicians. Just look at the pyramids. We did that. We can do it again. But we cannot rely on traditional education to educate our children. That is the big mistake that Black Americans are making today. You cannot rely on the traditional public school system to teach your child. It will fail them. Mm. It will set them up for failure. And we invest all our effort in sending them to a system that is setting them up for failure.
Okay.
Well, it hasn't changed since the 18th century. Thank you, brother. But let me leave you a minute. Think about this. Think about the payphone. Now we got smartphones. We got, you know, all these, you know, iPhones. And all right. Think about the Model T Ford. Now we got electric cars. But think about how we deliver education. Education has not changed since the 18th century. Mm-hmm. We got somebody standing in the front of the room lecturing to a group of kids, and they're not engaged and they're not really learning. They are memorizing and repeating. That's not education.
Could I ask the bishop, does he know Kendrick Tillman?
I do not, but please share that with me.
He is the president of the Black Chambers of Congress here.
Matter of fact, Kendrick, it just came on board before Earth. He's the editor in the National Black Unity News now as well.
Okay, well, good. And that's the whole reason why I'm loving that David's doing this, because as we are moving faster and faster, we have to be able to get on people's Zoom calls, podcasts, radio shows, to share information. Because invite all of you guys, me, Kindred, and the Black Professional Men, we're doing a virtual Zoom event for Kwanzaa/holiday We just did one last month, and it's a marathon. And what this does is gives us an opportunity for each one of us to have our own room, and it's sort of like a conference. So people can go to different rooms and learn about financial education, health, whatever you want to learn. But I definitely will give Dave more information.
Okay, good.
You can come on board, and guys, you know, let's use every platform that we have to also rebuild our channel of distribution. Because what's happening is that even when you talk about the STEM program, Five Star utilizes his DJing skills, and he sells a kit, and it comes in, it comes with a DJ equipment, but it teaches math and I think science just through music. Because as you stated, Bishop, we need alternative ways to give our children the proper education that they can become entrepreneurs, not the proper education that they can memorize other people's thoughts and information so they can just be robots.
Thank you. And I put my contact in the chat, and I love to connect. Matter of fact, I'll be back home in about 10 days, so I'm really excited to be back home and looking to connect. So I'll be in the DMV around the 17th of December.
Okay. Fantastic. You know, like I say, you know, we like I say, as we can see just on this call, not that many on it, but it's a wealth of talent, you know, that we are surrounded by, you know, and that's why I say, to me, we have no excuse whatsoever to be in this type of condition that we're in. But that's going to change, because for the first time, not the first time, but for this time, we are coming together for the purpose of uplifting our dead, like Earth just said, there's other people doing it. We are doing it, and we will continue to do it. But what we're doing, talking about making true changes, you know, through the National Black Unity News, not only do we educate, but we put out information that can alter people's lifestyle. And speaking of people who have, can unite people, who has a plan, who to me, has one of the most powerful plans out there, you know, far as bringing us all together when we all can participate. That's Brother Cliff. Brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself for a minute? Brother Cliff, how you doing today, sir?
All right, I'm doing well. I'm glad to see that you are fully back with us.
Yes, I am. I feel like that's all. I can run around the block once or twice, but you know, I ain't going. You don't do that just yet, but in any case, again, Brother Cliff, you know, this thing, this will thing that you have, I know we don't have much time, but, you know, tell people why do you do the things that you do, you know, with this will thing, because, and your belief how this day, how that will, like people think, you know, when I say will, you know, they, you know, it's just not a will, it's a theory, it's a plan where we won't overstep each other. Plan that, from my perspective, that can bring us all together under one system where we can benefit from one another, not get in each other's way. And when this brother showed me that, I was sold on it, because I see, like I said, I see the vision that he had. And I've seen how this can work for us. But, you know, just, you know, from your perspective, brother, just share, you know, briefly about, you know, how we, now everybody, like I say, we come from different walks and we come from different perspectives. But everybody on this call, this I know. They have their businesses. They want to succeed like everybody else. But I do know everybody on this call right now, I'm looking at quite a few people here, that their heart is in the right place, and they want to see us, we black people, move forward. So go ahead, sir.
Well, basically, it's just primarily a concept, that the idea of it is to kind of get a little bit away from, I guess, what you would call the traditional hierarchical organizational chart style of how we look at a particular group or organization or whatever. We all assume that there's somebody at the top and then there's people subordinate to them and so on and so on and so on. You see that in a lot of traditional businesses. You see that in a lot of government agencies. You see that even in a lot of multi-level marketing type businesses, where it always appears there's someone above you, someone below you. And as a result, there sometimes can be the spirit of competition among the different parts of the machine. And sometimes that can have a depressing effect on the amount of cooperation and unity jam. The idea of the spokes of the wheel concept is essentially to place all the different participants on the rim of a diagram, and then in the center is your objective. That way there's no one person who's above another individual. Everyone has a clear path to the objective, and when you draw it up, it looks like essentially a bicycle wheel. And everyone's mission to achieve that objective is represented as a straight line, and those come out as basically spokes if you take a look at it. And part of the idea also is that depending on where you are on that wheel or the rim of that wheel kind of represents where you are in the struggle. You've got economics specialists, you've got spiritualists, you've got democracy activists, you've got revolutionaries, you've got prison activists, you've got teachers, researchers, media, scientists, on and on and on. And they all are in different places on that diagram. And the idea is that all of those different missions are going to be necessary if we as a people are going to move forward. You take any of those folks out, the wheel starts to essentially get weaker and start to collapse. And we don't get anywhere as a people. And that the idea of that is to kind of push back a little bit against the notion that too many of us feel is that my way is the way. When people say that if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain, okay, I don't buy that. When people say economics is the only way, I don't buy that. When people say revolution is the only solution, I don't buy that. You take any one of those things all by itself, but it's not going to get us there. What's going to get us there is all of those strategies, all of those ideas working together. So that's part of the whole idea, I guess you would say, behind the concept of spokes of the wheel. I'm not a businessman. I'm also not ready to pick up a gun and start going around shooting everywhere. I'm also not someone who's strictly into the idea that you got to vote, you got to get into the political process. My perspective is that we have to have people in place in all of those areas, and they have to, at some point or another, work together. So stay in your lane doesn't even work. If everyone stays in their lane and those lanes never converge and we never come together and organize and move forward together as people, which is, again, why it is set up in that diagram where it comes out looking like a wheel. And it's going to require people with all kinds of different types of expertise in order to make that work.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Cliff. Look, I appreciate each and every one of you who shared this evening, but there's one more person. There's a couple of more people that can chime in before we close. I'm going to give everybody the opportunity to speak. But, Fran, you made it, huh? Unmute yourself.
Yeah, I made it. God's a good God.
So where are you?
I'm in Baltimore. I'm at home. Came back last night.
Okay.
The house hunting journey is full of twists and turns, but I will not be deterred by the enemy. He cannot handle me because I have a big God on my side.
That's
I don't
right.
know what he has on his side. I don't really care because it doesn't trump God. So we'll leave it at that. But it was kind of trying, a little chaotic and a little stressful, but I won't be told what I'm going to do with my money. I tell people what I'm going to do with my money. So we'll just leave it at that. But I am going to get what I want because God said so. So,
you know, patience is a virtue, they say sometimes, you know, because that thing is sitting around the corner, just ain't ready for you yet, you know.
Yeah.
And not only that, you're probably going to get a better deal too. You know, so like I say, you stay and believe. I know I'm talking to the choir.
No, you know, that's exactly why I'm in the position that I'm in, because I would not accept what someone else thought I was supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, you don't get to drive this. This is mine. This is God's promise to me. So you don't have anything to do with this. This is God's promise to me. So I don't want that thing over there that you think I'm supposed to have. I want the gift that God has for me, and you don't have that. So next.
All right. I don't know, people, they don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about, Fred?
I'm talking about, I just sold my house in Owings Mills last week, and I'm moving to the Raleigh area in North Carolina to buy a new construction home. I want a home that is built. I want a home that I will be the first occupant, and God promised me that. Even in my stage of retirement, I never thought that I would be buying a brand new home in retirement, but God promised me, and now he's about to deliver. And the enemy is trying to make me take what they think I should have, and I think the enemy doesn't get to say. So it's a
amen. I agree.
Yes. So I have my eye on what I want, and it's not quite ready yet, and I'll put my offer in next week. But I have the fast track, and I, you know, relationship is everything when you're doing this kind of stuff. And the listing agent for the house that I want is just really, you know, pro black woman, pro retired, pro military, pro educated, pro mama, pro grandmama. I'm all them things. So she's like, don't worry about this, I got you. But that's not really her having me. That's God creating an opportunity for me through her, because God uses people. And the enemy, who thought they were going to talk me into something that was higher than the number that I wanted to pay, with fewer features than I wanted to have, and I just dismissed them. Of course, they were a person who was not my gender and doesn't look like me, and they thought they knew more about what I should have than I do. And I disagree. So, you know,
God. The enemy doesn't trump God. Is that a play on words?
Yeah. Well, it could be. It could be if I gave 45 any credit, but he don't give me credit either. But getting back to the topic that we were talking about earlier, though, I want to throw Dr. Japheth Doswell into the mix, because Japheth has 3 or 4 different organizations that he's got, but one of them is Juxtopia LLC, and another is called Juxtopia Group. The LLC is a for-profit. The group is a nonprofit, and in his nonprofit, he takes in interns, minority interns, primarily black interns, and teaches them, coaches them about becoming an engineer. And he has them working on real-time projects and applying for active grants, and they're getting all kinds of different sorts of experience and information through working with Japheth that they will never, ever, ever get in any public school anywhere in the world, because they don't teach us that kind of stuff. So this is, Japheth is another example of somebody that looks like us taking on children that look like us, teaching them things that they don't get anywhere else, so that they can be successful in arenas that are primarily run by people that don't look like us. But we still have the talent, we still have the skill, we still have the ability, we still have the knowledge, we still have the education, and we still have our right to make a mark in those places. And he is creating an avenue by which many of our children would not have access to any other way. So kudos to Japheth, and he's doing exactly what Bishop Soleil was saying that we need to do. We need to take charge of our kids, and we need to not look at the traditional avenues of education, because while some of the methods have changed, the model is still the same, and it doesn't serve us. It never has, and it never will.
Okay. Thank you, Fran. And sure. There's one more guy, gentleman on here before we close out. Brother Haki, are you still available? If you are, unmute yourself. I believe this brother just came back from Africa. I think he has. But in any case.
He just came back from Tanzania.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to give him one more opportunity because, by the way, while I'm waiting on Haki, if he decided to come in, is this. This is open mic night, and that's why I was asking individuals to share information. Right now, the mic is open, and so anybody right now want to jump in and have some information they want to share or anything like that. Mr. Murphy, just unmute yourself, sir.
Unmute.
You're not unmuted yet.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. That's me now. Yeah. I just want to piggyback on some of the things that were said earlier. But first and foremost, I want to thank you guys. Y'all are amazing. I'm listening to all you wonderful ladies and the brothers who have come on have really shared some of the most basic concepts trying to get us even again when it comes to society and our mark in America. But one of the things that y'all kept piggybacking on was the idea of our youth. And what they are taught. And it's true, it bothers me to no end that the foods that we eat, the air that we breathe, and all that sort of stuff, they don't teach our kids about none of that. They teach about the elements, you know, that there's rain and water, but they don't really teach individuals about what my sister was talking about earlier about grounding. Something as simple as putting your hands in the dirt makes all the difference in your day. Putting your toes in the sand is a wonderful thing, but it's also very therapeutic. And that's just one of the things. And one of the other things that I was kind of want to piggyback on is the concept of individuals about our education. Yes, they teach us stuff. They teach our kids stuff. All of us are products of some sort of educational system. Most of us through some public education system. However, one of the things that they do is they give us information about life. But what they don't teach us is how to live. Truly live. And so I thank the brothers and the sisters around America and around the world who are doing that, teaching our children some of the stuff that they absolutely positively need to know. The kind of thing that's going to change not only their lives, but the lives of individuals around them, because they will affect those individuals with knowledge, with understanding, and on top of that, with proof. Because when you do the right thing, at the end of it all, what comes out of it, good stuff. So I just wanted to throw that in and thank you guys. I mean, you guys are amazing. Thank you again. Back to you, David.
Okay. And I just want to remind some of the editors that, we finalized in the last issue, the first issue of the year. And so, get your stuff in because... this is a powerful year coming for We Just Came Out. If you made it through this year, this was a doozy. I've been around, like I say, many years, and this was one, too, for the record books, from political arena all the way down to this pandemic. And it's topsy-turvy all over the place, so we don't know what 21 going to bring, but just be prepared. Stay on guard. Yes, Kathleen, I hear you. Okay, go ahead.
When it's appropriate, I'd like to say something.
You got it right now.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I really would like to thank Lila for what she does. Several months ago, Lila came on one of our calls, and she was the speaker that night, and she gave out a whole bunch of information. I took good notes, and I started doing my research and realized that she was giving some real good information. As a result of that, I went out and I changed several of my insurance policies, updated. I will tell you, she got my attention. And I just wanted to personally thank her. Thank you all for having people on with all this information, but particularly for what Lila did for me, because it affects my whole family. And I did act on what she said. Thank you.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, Kathleen.
Let me second.
Go ahead, Brother Satavi.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I often tell people this. Editors, when we call them editors, that not in the traditional sense of a newspaper editor. We're different, but editors is people who have got involved with the National Black Unity Need, not only support it financially, but at the same time, they write articles, they share information, not only about their business, but they give out tips how they can help our readers as well. And sometimes in media and marketing, you know, people put things that, you know, in advertisements and things like that, but the uniqueness of the National Black Unity News, see, a lot of times the editors don't get the results, they don't see the results that they do. But I'm going to tell you this. I get bombarded with calls sometimes saying how this editor or the paper itself has it altered their lifestyle in one form or another. But Kathleen just mentioned something that reminded me of this. See, each and every one of you, when you pen your articles and you take your blood, sweat, and tears and put your words into form, then we take it, we give it to Dr. YT, she screws it up a little. And then people like myself, we send it out through the masses. We send it out on Facebook. Right now, this publication reaches millions because I make sure that it goes through so many groups through, you know, through social media. We don't print that many hard copies at all. That just, you know, we the main purpose of that was for subscriptions and to have a physical, you know, copy that, you know, people can hold. But the online version is the one. Now, I've gotten calls and I've been publishing for 40 years. But since in the last 3 years since we started this publication, I mention to y'all all the time that they say, I love this publication. But then I get those calls, like Kathleen just mentioned, how things change people's lives. I've got so many calls on individuals, man, that the editors had done. And you know what it does? I mean, to me personally, it makes, you know, I know that this is a divine inspired project, but at the same time, it melts me. When I say melts, it just breaks me up sometimes, the response that people get just from your articles, just from sharing. And they would never see you. You see, Kathleen just said it openly, but there's a host of people out there that you would never meet, you would never say a word to you, but you have affected their lifestyle. And I appreciate that. You know, y'all keep doing what you're doing because it's working. And not only within the group itself, because we support one another, but like I say, you know, even the Bible says words do not come back void. And so when you put words out there in the universe, you know, and through a publication, it reaches masses. And your words, you don't even realize that. Some of you may not even realize this, but your words in this publication will be still circulating after you gone. From years, 10 years from now, 20 years, 100 years from now, the National Black Unity, because it's already in the Library of Congress already, of course. And every agency has our publication. I'm going to tell you that now, too. But there's all type of special interest groups out there had this publication as well. There's all types of organizations out there are beginning to model after us. There's all types of things that's taking place that y'all don't may not even realize. But like I say, the power of the pen is mightier than the sword, they said. And the work, see, what y'all do, see, is not nothing new to you individually. See, like Lila said, she's been doing this 15, 16 years. Earth has been out there as long as I have out there pretty much on the front line. So as Fran. Me and Fran go back 25, 30 years. Brother Cliff been out there just as long. But like I say, everybody, you know, has put in work. And can you imagine all those individual years of experience, and then you take a publication, you take all of these people and bring them together, and you take all of that experience, and then you put it in a publication. Just little tidbits, every issue, little tidbits. That's a powerful, powerful thing. And that's why I appreciate you so much, because, like I said, I'm the most blessed man on earth, I think, because I'm around people like y'all. Y'all don't even know. I listen to Earth. See, not only listen, see, you know, I'm the type of person, I done been there and done that. I done been with this organization. See, I, you know, there's a lot of people who talk the talk too, sound good too. but they ain't doing nothing. But I learned over the years to match myself with doers, people who have a track record, people that I know, because I won't even let you in the publication, to be honest with you. That's one thing I'm serious about. Not only your heart got to be in the right place, but, you know, I have to take you to God. I do. I have to take each and every, I took each and every one of y'all to God. Is this person the right person? You know, because I don't want nobody going in this publication that's going to hurt people or mislead people. And sometimes I have no control over you guys, but one thing I do know, thus far, everything has been just great because your words and your works has proven. Not only, like I said, I know it, but now because our readers are really benefiting from your work. And so I just thank God for each and every one of you. And thank you, Kathleen, for, you know, reminding me of that, because we on it. And like I said, we about to approach this new year. And in closing, I just want anybody who wants to share, you know, a few words in closing, because we have about 3 minutes left. I mean, about 13 minutes left. And if anybody wants to share any closing words, this is the time to do so.
I just wanted to comment, David, that Sister Layla also helped our family with some insurance policies, and you know, and we got that information through the National Black Unity News, and I just wanted to publicly, you know, thank her, and you know, and again, tell people to check out the paper, because it can really help you out. And the other comment I wanted to make is one of the things that's missing in the educational process, and one of the things that we did when we ran our cultural center, is teaching children gardening, teaching them how to grow things. And if you want to see a child light up, watch them when they learn how to grow something. It changes their whole perspective about life. And because they can see from the time the seed starts off in a little seedling cup and then putting it in the ground and watching it bloom and grow. We had children when we grew vegetables at the culture center. They would wrap up their little cucumbers and stuff, like in a napkin, like it was in a blanket, and say, "This is my baby," you know. And so, you know, just gardening and through gardening, you can teach mapping. You can teach. There's so many different things you can do through gardens. We had a program called Garden Mosaics. Don't have enough time to really go into that right now. But you want to see a child's eyes light up? Teach them gardening. Show them how to put their hands in the soil and how to prepare the soil and do what they need to do to be able to cultivate and grow some vegetables and some plants.
Okay.
Wow.
Anybody else?
I wanted to add this when you guys was talking about information is so powerful. We took the opportunity to utilize virtual learning, and we gave our parents extra virtual courses. Because if you think about it, them children don't know a difference between being in school or being on something that we created ourselves. So tight-knit means self-determination. So what we're doing, and I'm part of an organization that's called the Indigenous Business Association. We actually have an app that you can download on your phone, and that was created by Malon Butler. And what he wanted to do was find a way that we can combine all of this technology that's going on with our own solutions. So you're right. Everything that we're thinking of, we can now create our own virtual institutions, and we cannot just create our own. We don't have to throw away the public school system, because sometimes when we're trying to create a movement, we do more fighting against a process that we may not think that's appropriate versus integrating ourselves into the process. So while all of these kids are home virtual learning, we give our parents other things that they can also use in that virtual curriculum. And a lot of people are open to it. A lot of people are grateful that we can bring other people into their living rooms, not only for their children, but a lot of adults were miseducated. So we've been creating virtual learning for a while. So that's another component that if you guys want to look into or join us, let me know. Like I said, we have a event that we're going to do, a 24-hour virtual event, and it's going to incorporate all that.
Okay, fantastic. Awesome. Someone else wanted to speak.
Yeah, it's Lila. I just wanted to say thank you to Kathleen. Because it's funny. Actually, I'm just going to be transparent. When I got on the Zoom today, I was like, you know, is anybody even listening? Is anybody even hearing me? You know what I mean? It's funny because you plant the seeds, you know, and the Bible tells us that, you know, you don't grow weary in well doing. But, you know, when you do something for a long period of time, sometimes you don't think that people actually hear you. So I just appreciate that today. Both of you guys actually, the other couple of wings that I helped out as well, they actually, you know, they got one of my policies and put a plan in place for their family. But I just appreciate you guys for just listening and then taking initiative to do something with it.
What is your phone number?
It is 667. I actually put it in the chat too. 667-231-0819.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right. Okay, then, ladies and gentlemen, you know, a wealth of information went forth this evening because a wealth of y'all had, you know, took, you know, stood up and stood out and shared information. And again, I want to encourage people, you know, to get a copy of the National Black Unity News. Of course, you can read it online for free, but I would like for you to go to tnbun.com. Again, that's tnbun.com. And also, you know, we have a directory. Now, Eartha said this best. I'm glad she's on here because I'm going to bring up our directory. Eartha always say we have to identify the we, who we are. How can we support each other if we don't know who and where we are? And so that's why, you know, I cut my teeth on a directory. That's how I started out in business, with a directory called Togetherness Unlimited with a discount card. And it's a powerful, powerful tool to, first of all, to know who and where we are. I don't care if you're in the United States, Arizona, I don't care where you are. I do have a blueprint, and the directory will be going full force this year because I'm going to make sure of that. So, again, if you know any black businesses that need some exposure, matter of fact, all of them need it, put them in the direct. Tell them about the direct. It's free. But we do have some paid, you know, two other paid, you know, parts in there to give you more exposure. But it's no excuse for us not to, you know, to participate in. And not only that, inside this directory, you can put another directory in there. Other people have directories. Some of them local, some of them regionals, and things. Some of them even national. But we know, but we still, some of them have chambers of commerce direct. Oh, God, we want all of them in this directory. Because we have to identify who and where we are so that we can support us. Because we're going to be in some trying times. You know, like I say, this year is a prerequisite of what's going to be next year. There's a lot of cleaning up that has to be done. There's a lot of planning has to be done. There's a lot of solutions that's going to be needed in our communities. And people like us, because we have everything we need. There's no excuse for us not to take advantage, apply, support our people. I believe this is my personal thing. God has raised each and every one of you up for such a purpose as this. Do your thing, but take your thing and help others, and then you will help yourself. But at the same time, we need to work collectively. We need each other. And again, we are at that hour. And as always, I appreciate you for, you know, participating with us. And as always, keep doing what you're doing because you're doing a great thing. Keep supporting the National Black Unity News because that's a great thing. And again, we're about to approach our new year. Some people call it a new beginning. Some people have resolutions. But we have to look at things very realistic, ladies and gentlemen. This is a serious time. We're going to take serious. This is warfare. People are actually dying. And unfortunately, we are the ones who die more rapidly, more quickly, more than others. I don't know what's in our DNA. I don't think it's that. But, you know, I think it's by design. That's just my personal opinion. That everything comes up, black people die more than others. But, you know, it's our conditioning. It's our diet. It's a lot of things. We can all come up with, you know why, what for, and how it comes. But the reality of we dying. And if God has blessed you with a program or a plan, and you know for a fact that it can save lives, it can help people with a better quality of life, then you shouldn't sit on it. By all means necessary, you should be out there doing what you have to do to bring exposure to your program. And one of those ways is this. Now, I can't think of, some of you not involved with us right now, you know, on the tip, but I can't think of a better way, personally. And if you do know a better, let me know, that you can get this much exposure for the least amount of dollars with the National Black Unity News, with the network that we have, and we are growing all over the country right now. This is just the beginning, because we weathered the storm. Bill and I, Mr. Murphy, Fran, all of us, who've been involved with this publication that has been through the mills, but yet we still stand. We never missed a occasion. And we won't miss this one either, through the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you this. It's time to connect the dots, the Earthers, the Sonatas, the Cliff, all of us. We all have valuable information that we can share with one another. Let's support each other. Not you just coming with the National Black Unity and support us. I'm willing to, you know, we're willing to support you as well. This is about us working together. We have, like, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying this because it's serious. This is life-altering, life-changing. People, like I say, are dying in the streets. Here we are with solutions, all of us. And collectively, we can stop some of that. Collectively, we can change, because like I say, Earth and No, media is a powerful tool. We can alter people's mindsets. We have people like Lila has opportunities. There ain't no excuse when you say you can't find work. We have a lot of people in the National Black Unity that have opportunities. But not only that, we have people like the Fran Allens, who wrote all types of books on how to lift yourself up, get it from out of the dirt, out of the mud, and create a better being, or I mean, better living for yourself. We have Kathleen Murphy that deal with our youth, that inspire our youth. That yes, you can. That hey, you can do this, you can do that, you can do these things that can inspire you. Like I say, a lot of people talking about the old as you see Kathleen. If you read her articles, you will see there's already different ways of doing things. And so, again, and we got Brother Vernon who coming up with all types of marketing tools. We have all kinds of people on here that's doing great and wonderful things. And that's why I say when I sit back and look at things and watch the news and watch this and watch us fight each other, watch us complain. But I see hope. I'm inspired. That's why I do the things that I do, because I see people like you. And I know, like I say, I ain't out here by myself. I know there's a better tomorrow for us because I look at you guys who have put blood, sweat, and tears into your pride and ain't going to never give up. Never, ever. Never. And you know, and God just showed me. I just look, you know, God is Father, and he bring all of y'all just, you know, within my circle. A lot of you are extremely educated. A lot of y'all spend time in the military. A lot of y'all spend time on the front lines out there in the streets, in the boardrooms, courtrooms. Y'all, I mean, y'all all over the place. And this year, this year coming up, 2021, this is going to be a doozy as well. But they're going to be some bright lights out there, and the National Black Unity News is going to be one of them. We're going to be a beacon of hope. We're going to have solutions. You know, if you pick up the publication, or even if you just call us, because we can, like I say, my friend Fran, you know, she called me the network of networkers, and like I say, I call myself a servant of servants. But I'm telling y'all are the servant. I just here to serve you guys. But at the same time, I have a wealth of information, and that's what I do best. I can take you, tell me what you need, and I can take you to a Fran out. I can take you to Earth to Hers. I can take you to a Brother Cliff. So I have all types of people in the circle. If you come up, I don't care what solution, what problem you have, we have people that can assist you, one form or another. But again, in closing, ladies and gentlemen, for those of y'all who have prayed for me, as you see, it worked. Because I'm back. I feel great. And, that now I have another tool in my arsenal for in my testimonies, because I got many now, many. But this one is a doozy. when the time has come, and I'm going to share this in closing. I know I ramble on sometimes, but, you know, when I was in the hospital, I laid in the bed because I had no computer, had a little cell phone, and I don't work with cell phones too well, so all I use it for just for phone calls. But I had a lot of time to think. And one of the most profound things that I thought about was you guys, the power of you. And to be honest with you, I was so grateful just to know y'all, just to know you, just pick your brain, to listen to you, and your tenacity, the stuff that some of, you know, like I say, see, none of y'all ain't gonna tell your story, you know, the true story sometimes, but sometimes when you get to know people, sometimes we share, you know, when I say share, you know, we tell some tough tales, you know, some intimate stuff, you know, about our personal lives. And over the years, how we had to deal with mates, you know, your loved ones, your children, and everything else on top of all the other stuff that you have to do. The ups and downs, the betrayals, even people that look like you, you know, stabbed you in the backs and all of this stuff. But through all of that, y'all persevered. And I thought about that as I was laying in that bed, how powerful, how strong people like that around. And when y'all told me, you know, and I don't take this lightly, but when y'all said that y'all was praying, I knew you were. And I told, I don't know if I told this on the story, but there was a little white boy came into my room. And for some reason, he wouldn't kind of leave. He would always keep coming back in the room and just stand around and would wait. You know, he said, do you need anything? Do you want anything? And sometimes I would tell you, I want this, I want a cup of coffee, I want this. But then he would always come back, like he said, you know, like he was a servant. He would just say, can I get, you know, and sit there. And I knew he was looking for something. And I start sharing with him, you know, little things that happened to me in life. And I told him how powerful he was. I said, because you've been very kind to me, young man, and I say, and I appreciate that, because, you know, some of the nurses, they kind of, you know, they under stress, and you know, they trying to get to the next patient, so they don't have time even to be kind, some of them, you know, they just trying to get to the next person, but this gentleman took time, and I told him, I said, you know, there's a lot of people who are praying for me. And I said, you know, and they praying for my caregivers as well, so I said, there's a lot of people praying for you. And I said, I don't know why you chose this field that you in, but I said, it's a powerful thing that you do, you know, to help people, to serve people the way that you do. And I told him a little story about, you know, I told y'all the seven levels of why. I told him him to take that, you know, take the, just, you know, just when he get to himself. The next day he came in. He shook my hand so tightly. He said, I went home and tried that thing that you did. And he said, you're right. He said, you know, I didn't even really realize how my life was being orchestrated to do what I do today. And he was appreciative. Now, here we are, two a white young man, an old black man, sitting in a hospital room. You know, he was helping me, and I guess I was helping him. And so what I'm saying is this, in closing again, ladies and gentlemen, you never know, just like Kathleen just told Lila, you never know who's in your circle that you are blessing just by a kind word. Just by, like Earth and them do, they just don't do, they help people. Just like Sonata said, you know, teaching people, loving people. Fran does it on a consistent, not only in books and stuff. Cliff doing it. All y'all doing is showing love. That's all y'all do. And y'all do it through service. So keep doing that. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank each and everybody for participating in the National Black Unity News Call. And we'll see you next week at the same time. And tomorrow on a different number, you know, we switching up every time. So, you know, but, you know, we will have our TBN, T-U-T-B-U-N call tomorrow night, hosted by our truly Mrs. Fran Allen. And she's the host of the call tomorrow. And we will have a few people on, but I'll have to take care of that myself personally. But tomorrow, tune in at 7:30 sharp. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you then. And with that being said, everybody, good night. Take care.
Good night. Good night. Be safe to stay safe, everybody.
Goodbye.